And sometimes we have to deal with things in priority. Amen. And just deal with it. Amen. And listen, and to get the right sound out of that thing, it has been tuned. Amen. Amen. But it's good to be here. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. And I tell you, I've been so excited about this meeting, Brother Robert. I thank God for the opportunity and the invitation to come. And I tell you, I've learned. I haven't been preaching that long, Brother Will. It's been preaching about 13 years. But anyway, I've learned wherever you go, always have something. Because you never know. But I did not come expecting this, but I come, listen, being prepared. We need to be prepared, but I tell you, I thank the Lord. I'm kind of envious of Brother Rudy, though, this morning. I talked to him in the parking lot. He was leaving. He's got to preach in a camp meeting up next to Bryson City tonight, Brother Jimmy Millsaps. And he was pulling out, and I thought he didn't have his suit or tie on. I thought, well, he's not going to be there this morning. And I said, where are you going? He said, well, he said, I've got to preach in a camp meeting tonight at Brother Millsaps, a meeting there. And he was dressed just casual, looked in the back. He had a bicycle in the back of his truck. He had a fishing pole behind his seat. Amen. He had a raft back there. He said he's going to blow that thing up on some waders to get in the water with. So his plans are to go out and get spiritual today in the creek. Amen. But anyway, I thank the Lord for that. And I appreciate Brother Rudy. I ask God just to give him a good day. And amen. I appreciate that message last night. And Brother Buster, I appreciate you. But I thank God for these men that I've been able to glean from through the years. It's helped this preacher right here. And I thank God. Will you pray for me this morning? And I want to mind the Lord. I'll be honest with you. I was studying on the ironing board in the room. And you ever study on the ironing board? And my wife had went out to go get us some breakfast. And she talked to Brother Willis out there. And he'd ask about me. And she said, oh, he's in there studying on the ironing board. And I told Brother Willis, I was just trying to iron out all the wrinkles this morning. Amen. I don't know if they're all ironed out or not, but we'll try to do our best. But I've been in between two messages, and I try not to let what I see and what I hear dictate to my heart what to say, what God wants. But anyway, the other way that I like to go, I feel like there's more content. Like sometimes Brother Willis thought of not much content, but the intent's got to be right. Amen? But anyway, I'm going to preach what God put on my heart. Turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter number 16. I'm nervous. I just, to be honest with you, I don't care to tell you, I'm nervous. But if you'll stand, please, as we read the Word of God, reverence to God's Word. And let's look in Acts chapter 16, and let's begin a reading in verse number 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters. Brother, am I on? I don't think I'm on, am I? Am I on? Brother, this thing's not on. Do you want it on? I flipped the switch. All right, let's go back. I'm sorry. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, and but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, And everyone's bands were loose. Boy, I like that. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, "Let those men go." And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly and uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out." The sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans, and they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Thank you. You may be seated. Our Father God, I love you today. I thank you, Father, for this opportunity to stand for you. Lord, I know today, dear God, Lord, that our abilities, dear God, are frail this morning. But, dear God, I'm glad, Father, that, Lord, we just need power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost this morning. God, we rely on Thee today. And, Lord, I know today I'm a nothing without You. Lord, I know today, dear God, that, Lord, that Father, Lord, it's by the good grace of God that we're even here today. Lord, I can remember a time, dear Father, that I wasn't in a place such as this, but I thank you, Father, for redeeming grace. Lord, I pray now, dear Father, please use me somehow to help somebody. And Lord, may, dear Father, Lord, they see you and not see me and hear from you and not just hear from me. God, I'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank the good Lord. Well, I want to look at this. I begin to pray and meditate on this. Matter of fact, I preached this Sunday night at my church, and it was working in my heart coming down the road. And anyway, God began to work it in my heart last night as I was on the ironing board. Amen. But God wants me to look at a verse of Scripture, want us to see something right here. In verse number 25, the Bible says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." But I want you to look, what I want to look at, as the condition they were in, amen, they had every excuse in the world not to worship God. I mean, all human reality and what was going on around them and all the hindrances they had. Listen, they could have made all kinds of excuses for not worshiping God, amen. And I want to look at something here and tie verse number 23 in with verse number 25. I want you to look now in verse 23. "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely." Now here you and I are in a place such as this. I mean, God's been so good to us. And I know we've all got problems and all been hurt or maybe got some sort of thing going on in our life even today that would discourage us and keep us from worshiping God. And I begin to think about even in my own life, sometimes we look at things that maybe just we say, "Well, I just don't feel like worshiping the Lord today for what I'm going through." But I want to tell you, we've got to get beyond that if we're going to worship God, because Satan will make sure he does everything he can to keep us discouraged and down and try to oppress us and to keep us in a place of just being dormant as a Christian and not praising the Lord and worshiping God like you'd have us to. Amen. Well, they were beaten with many stripes, and I begin to think about that right there, that many stripes. And I looked that word stripes up, and it means a wound. Now, I realize there's a lot of folks, including myself here this morning, that's face has some battle scars. Yeah. Battle scars. I've got a scar on the side of my arm I'll never forget. We lived up the mountains, North Carolina, and we just
Tar Heels, we didn't care. We just run the hills up there. I remember one time I was running over through a barbed wire fence. I thought I could jump it, but I found out I couldn't, so I ducked and went between the strands, and it caught me on the side of the arm, and I still have a big scar right there I look at. Amen. It reminds me of that time I was wounded. But I want to tell you something. My scar don't hurt me no more. There's people here with scars in their lives. Now, them scars ain't going to hurt you. But I guarantee there's some folks here that's wounded. Amen. Wounds are something that's painful. Wounds are something that's hurting. And wounds sometimes in our life keep us from giving God the due praise that He deserves. Amen. We get so focused on what we're going through sometimes that we forget who we're serving. Amen. Here they are, brother. I'm saying they're wounded. They're beat with many stripes. I mean, we could say probably many wounds in this place this morning. And I say they were wounded with many stripes. But here's what they did. And this is what will help us this morning. They worshiped. This is my thought. They worshiped beyond their wounds. And that's what God wants me to preach this morning. That we just need to worship beyond our wounds. Amen. Just go ahead and work. And I believe that's what's taking place this morning. I've learned enough, friend, when I look at people in their faces and they look like everything's going all right. If we can just take inventory of what's going on in their life. They've got problems. They've got heartaches. They got hurt. They've got church problems, family problems, financial problems, physical problems. And we sit on the church pew and sometimes we try to fool people with deep down. We have many stripes. And we'll see. Sit there, friend, being deceived, thinking everything's okay, and we'll sit there focused on everything but God. But I want to tell you what Paul and Silas did. Within their wounds, God helped them to go ahead and worship in spite of their wounds, and God gave liberty, amen, in that prison house, amen. And I believe that's what God's doing here today. I want to learn to worship beyond my wounds, amen. There have been times, I'm out of Brother Barry's church, and there have been times I've told this, I'd been going through something as a young Christian, got saved 15 years ago, and there'd be something I'd going through, and I'd go in the house of God, and I'd been dragging my tracks out. You know how it is, people, lower than a well digger's shoe sometimes, and you come in the house of God, and you sit there, and you say, well, I probably ain't going to get no help today, nothing's going to happen for me today, and I'm sitting here, I'm here, but I just don't really expect nothing to happen. All of a sudden, that choir gets up and begins to sing, or that man of God gets up and begins to preach, or that dear saint of God testifies, and the next thing you know, friend, I'm worshiping beyond my wounds. It helped me get beyond what I was going through. Oh, glory to God. That's why I need Jubilee meetings, Brother Jarvis. That's why I need camp meetings and a fellowship with the people of God, because we come down here and we can all confess and admit we come down here with problems hoping to get help. Oh, God, help us. I want to give you some things real quick. I want to first talk about the root of their wounds. The root of their wounds. Notice right here to the root of their wounds. Verse number 19. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them in the marketplace into the rulers. Now, I want to say the root of their wounds was evil. Do you know what the Bible says? The love of money is the root of all evil. And this was an evil act, evil intention right here, this root that came against them. These men lost their gain, amen, because this woman got saved, amen. And I want to tell you something, but glory to God, aren't you glad of what the devil means for evil? God means for good. God had a purpose in their wounds. I'm going to show you in a minute. But there was the root of the wounds. First, find out, why are you wounded today? Why are you going? Is it self-inflicted? Hey, is it? Amen. Or is it because of something else? And here's to help you right here. I want to talk about the rightness of their wounds. They weren't wounded because they did something wrong. They were serving God. Matter of fact, they're going to go pray. Hey, that's about the most time we get wounded or get hurt or attacked when we want to go pray. they were going to pray. And that's when they, at least they're going down there to pray. They was doing all the right things, serving God, soul winning, trying to reach a lost and dying soul right here. I want to tell you something, friend. All that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall, not might, shall suffer persecution. And wounds sometimes come, not because you've done something wrong, but because you've done something right. We're so critical sometimes to say, well, they must have done something wrong, kind of like Job's friends, amen. And we say, it must be them. But I want to tell you something, friend. We're in a battle. We're in attack, amen. A living for God. I believe Brother Buster said it. It's a hard day to live for God. It really is. Don't try to fool yourself. But listen, it's not hard, thank God. When we can see the purpose of what we're going through sometimes. It's when I don't realize and can't understand why I'm wounded. It's when I have difficulties. But there was the rightness. Now, this ain't the outline, but this is just some introductory thoughts. But the root, just go ahead this morning. Go ahead and just find out what the problem is and how it came about. Amen. And the rightness of it. You're here today, maybe wounded, not because you've done something wrong, but just doing something right. But thank God there's the resources for your wounds. Glory to God. While in there, what they do? They sang praises unto God. They had some resources deep down inside, amen, to help them with their wounds, amen, to help them to worship in their wounds. Listen, I'm glad today. Listen, it feels good to worship, but listen, my worship is not based on how I feel. My worship is something that comes inwardly, amen, and it's manifested outwardly, amen. Hey, that the resources they had were from within, not from without. All around them, nobody was worshiping. Everybody in that prison had some sort of wounds. None of them probably felt like praising and singing, amen. And all of them deserved to be in there, except Paul and Silas. Have you ever been in a place, friend, and I mean it seems like it's just dry and nobody's worshiping God. So you'll sit there and say, well, I'll just sit here quiet myself, amen. I want to tell you what God wants you to do. God wants you to go ahead and worship to be an influence and to be an inspiration to those who aren't worshiping, amen. I've got a dear brother in my church. He drives a tractor and trailer, and man, I'm telling you, he's my motivator. When he's not there, I tell you something, it's a difference. You know, there's always one in your church that makes that amen corner or that dear saint of God that shouts. There's always one in your church that motivates and helps the man of God. Well, he was out just the other day. He's going on a long truck route, and he wasn't able to be there. And I tell you, sometimes he'll get in the worship service. He'll stand and just shout to the top of his lungs. And man, I tell you something, next thing you know, it motivates me, and it's like a domino effect. And it begins, people start to hear, amen, what's going on. Next thing you know, worship's starting over here, and worship's starting over here. Somebody needs to be the motivator, amen, amen, amen. Somebody needs to be the one to take the initiative. Regardless of how you feel, go ahead and put your hand in the air. You could be dead and in hell today, but God has saved us by His grace. Put us in a good place like this, amen. I to hear the word of God and to worship, amen. But there's resources within. Glory to God, aren't you glad they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth, amen. That what's within us, our resource. The rejoicing with their wounds. Man, it's hard to do. I'm not going to stand up here and say I've always done that. Sometimes difficult. But I just found this out. Sometimes just go ahead, regardless of how you feel. You don't feel like shouting. Just go ahead. Matter of fact, they shouted their way out. Amen. Just go ahead in spite of your circumstances. In spite of, I hope you don't mind me calling names. I thought about Brother Ricky this morning. And I said, we was talking out in the hall, and he's having water problems at home. And, you know, I said, Brother Ricky, are you going? You going home? And he said, no, I'm going to church first this morning. You know, he could have just head on down the road, you know, and had all that on his mind. And, and he'd have missed out maybe on what all God's got prepared this morning. Some of you here today, friend, you probably got phone calls. Some of you pastors, I got one last night. And we get all sorts of things, friend, and things start getting on our minds. And then we get maybe a bad report or get wounded. And we're in a place where we need to worship. And we're not careful. We'll let all them outward things, friend, keep us from worshiping God. Then the reason for your wounds. There's a reason behind your wounds. Romans 8:28 still in there. And we're not, you don't go through it just because, just for no reason. Amen. And I'm going to tell you all my sad stories. But when I was going through it, I seen no reason for it. I said, God, what in the world? This is not doing me any good. Matter of fact, those times, a lot of times, I don't feel like worshiping. I feel like quitting. But you know what? I'm glad there's been a few times when I have been wounded. And now listen, don't you get crossed up with me right here. I believe in the perseverance of the saints not to be saved. But God put something in us when He saved us that just don't want to quit. It's a power greater than our power. It's a strength stronger than our strength. Oh, listen, I'm glad when I feel like quitting, when I'm wounded, Brother Willis, and when I feel like not worshiping anymore, I'm glad there's somebody inside of me that keeps me going in spite of what I'm going through. Amen. And I've learned, friend, just to worship sometimes. It gets my mind and all of my problems and off of what I'm going through. Oh, can you imagine one day, friend, when we're around the throne, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands times thousands around the throne. Do you think we're going to be worried about anything but Him? No, we ain't worried about nothing. Our eyes are going to be on Him. Our attention's going to be on Him. Our focus is going to be on Him. And Paul and Silas was praising and worshiping God unto the Lord. Amen. Let's just worship beyond our wounds. I'll be honest with you, I've wept for some folks here this morning. And I've wept with a burden because I know some of the things people go through. But you come on, why? Because you just want to get beyond those wounds. Well, I want to give you a few things. First, I want to say you can write this down. They were in a place that they didn't deserve to be in. They were in the inner prison, and the inner prison was reserved for the vilest of prisoners. You ever feel that way? That I just ain't getting what I really deserve. We ought to thank God we don't get what we do deserve. We ought to thank God He gives us what we don't deserve. Amen. We're all blessed with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hey, listen, my conversation's in heaven. Amen. That's where my place is going to be one day. Amen. And we've got a promise. Amen. Right now, you're going to have trials. We're going to have problems. We're going to have hurt. We're going to have heartaches. We're going to have wounds. Hey, for him, it ain't always going to be that way. It's how we deal with them right now. It's going to help us where we worship God. I'm trying to move on. They were in the place they felt like they didn't deserve. They were in a place that was dark. Amen. It was a dark place. They was in a place of discouragement. Amen. I've been in a few of them places. But I hope you'll pray for me. Now I'll give you a few things God wants me to say on how to worship beyond your wounds or why we need to worship beyond our wounds. Let's just say why. We all know how. Let's just say why. All right. Look at verse number 26. Amen. It's got quiet. I hope I ain't killed the service. I told my wife. I listen to some of these men of God. And I listen to them on the radio and listen to them on the pulpit and camp meetings. And if you know, I sometimes say, hey, Lord, there's no way I could give out something like you gave them. And I begin to, you know what? We begin to be critical toward ourselves, self-criticism. And next thing you know, I'm saying, well, I can't do nothing for you, Lord. And I told my wife, I said, honey, I'm just going to be what God wants me to be. That's the only thing I know. I don't have 30-some years, Brother Mullins, under my belt. I don't have a... But listen, and Brother Mullins, oh, Lord, that helped me. He said he thought after reaching so many years, he'd have everything took care of. You know, boy, that really helped me, brother. It might not have felt good to you, but the farther we go along, listen, friend, the more trials we face, the more battles we face. But anyway, it helps us to know we're here for a purpose. And I'm here for a purpose. I hate Brother Mackey if he couldn't be here. I wanted to hear him. I didn't know that was going to happen, brother. You didn't know that. But God knew that. I had no idea I'd be standing up here. But God's allowing his wounds. Listen, Brother McAfee's wounds this morning. We need to worship. Number one, why we need to worship beyond our wounds. Verse number 26. Notice what the Bible says. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. The first thing I see is the reason why we need to worship beyond our wounds is to shake off the hindrances. Amen. Hey, friend, don't it just loosen up a service every now and then to someone just say, well, glory to God, amen. Praise the Lord, I'm glad I'm saved today, amen. Hey, next we can all get down into that pity party mentality and look at everybody and what we're all going through. But aren't you glad every now and then there's a Paul and Silas, amen, that'll stand up and just praise God and it helps those others around you, amen. What we need to do this morning, friend, is worship God and it'll shake off those hindrances in our lives. Listen, friend, what was confining them. I believe, listen, glory to God, we need liberty in God's house. We let things confine us and our hindrances and our wounds and our problems, amen, confine us from worshiping God. But they went ahead and worshiped God anyway, and God loosed their chains, amen. God, listen what he did here. And the fetters of the prisoners fell off, and the foundation of the prison was shaken. Amen. Hey, if you want to see your church get shook up, amen, just start worshiping God just in spite of what you're going through. Go ahead and praise God anyway, amen. Hey, he's worthy, amen, of what you're going through. And we are to praise God for what we're going through, amen, because God's allowing it for a purpose. Oh, I wish I could get to that point. Brother Willis, I cannot accept it sometimes. I have a hard time accepting it. But I'm going through it and you're going through it. But what helps me to get beyond it is just worshiping. What are you going through? Worship will set you free from cares. You can't worship God looking down. You worship unto the Lord. Worshiping God's not going to happen when you look around. Oh, worship unto the Lord. Because if you worship unto the Lord, it won't matter what you're going through or where you're at or who's around you. Amen. Listen, I want to say, worshiping beyond your wounds will shake off the hindrances in your life. Amen. It was what was confining them. Amen. The fetters, amen, that they were chained to. Amen. They just fell off. They just fell off. Amen. Man, I think I was going to ever get through some things. I'll just go and share one with you. I resigned my first church in the will of God. They threw me out of my second church, and I started my third one. I want to tell you, I was never so hurt in my life in my second church. I didn't think I was going to ever get through that thing. And I'm telling you, it was wounds I couldn't understand. I've seen the church go from 20 to 60, took on 13 new mission workers. Church was growing. Brother Barry come preach 2 weeks, had about 13 people get saved. I mean, the thing was a boom, and all of a sudden, I was off preaching a revival meeting somewhere, come back, men done gathered together, wrote me out a resignation, said, we want you gone. I walked out of there wounded with 17 other people wounded. They didn't bring it to a boat, so they just left. Amen. I'm telling you, it took me a long time to get over that. It really did. I was wounded. I was wounded. I didn't think I was going to ever get back to a place where I could be where I need to be for God. But I tell you something inside of me said, just go on anyway. Get your eyes on me and off that crowd. They don't care nothing about me no how. Get your eyes on me. And Brother Buster, you helped me out many times just talking about it. And I thank God today for people of God. I Paul's and Silas's. Jesus that's helped me to get me all my wounds. And now I can stand here this morning. I'm not a great preacher, I don't think, by no means. But I serve a great God, amen. And my God today's let me have worship in my heart, amen. Because, friend, of what He's brought me out of, amen. And brought me through. I just serve a great God. Oh, bless His name. It'll shake off the hindrances, amen. Don't y'all laugh at me. But Brother Robert, I try to shake that thing off, and I try to shake it off, and I try to shake it off. Don't you laugh at me. I'd run me a big hot bath. And I'd say, well, I'm going to sit in that bath and just ease my mind and get my mind off all of these wounds. And you know what I found out I was doing? Honestly, I was sitting in that bathtub, and I think, now when I see him out on the street, me and him's going to fight. Honestly. I can still see his face right now. I said, when we cross paths, we're going to fight out in town. I know it. I'm honest, and I'd sit there and try to get me all my wounds myself, and it wasn't helping me. I was just getting madder and madder, and it was hurting me more and more. And listen, friend, when I finally did cross his path at Pizza Inn, I'll never forget. Walked in, because you're always, I mean, we're not a big city, and you expect to cross paths sometime. And anyway, so they're sitting over there in the corner. I said, all right, Lord help us. I went over there. How you doing, my brother? It's good to see you, my brother. And how you been? All that stuff. And you walk away and say, that ain't what I wanted. Come on now, y'all with me? We get this attitude, I'm going to knock somebody's block off because they wounded us. Amen. Oh, listen. Oh, glory. I want to show you something in a minute, if God will help us, about these that beat them. And we get that idea in our head, and then we come to the house of God and think we can worship God. No, we can't do that. Amen. Listen, we have to have the attitude of Christ. No one was hurt and wounded no more than He was. Amen. And I want to tell you something. He's our supreme example. Amen. Listen, He went ahead all the way to Calvary in spite of His wounds. And we are to go ahead and serve God and carry our cross in spite of our wounds. Amen. And when people hurt you, and people wound you, we ain't going to knock the block off. We're going to smile. We're going to get back in that pulpit or sit back on our pew. And we're just going to thank God for the grace of God. It hurts. I know it still hurts. It still comes back. Wounds is not a scar. Shake off them hindrances. Number one, the reason why we need to worship beyond our wounds. Number two, notice verse number 27. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. I will tell you, this will help you right here. Number two reason why we need to worship beyond our wounds, not only to shake off the hindrances, but to wake up the heathen. Right. I remember, listen, when I was a lost man going to church, I went to Rogersville Baptist Temple. I'm just going to tell you, and don't you think I'm bringing up past? I know we need to forget the past, but I was just a drunkard, sitting on a bar stool 4 nights a week. I know nothing about God. Nothing. Someone invited my wife Cole down there to church, and we went down there to church, and then Brother Barry began to preach. Never had known none of them people, and they don't know nothing about them. And I tell you, them people in there, Brother Willis, they got to raising their hands. And they began to worship God. And I'm sitting there, lost man, a heathen. And I look around and I say, God, I'm hearing this. And Lord, they've got something I don't have. I mean, really, I'm telling you the honest to goodness truth. I'd sit there on that pew and people would worship God me as a heathen, a lost man. And I'd hear what's going on, and God knows my heart. I'd say, God, they've got something I don't have. It's very important that those who are around us, lost folks, friend, amen. If we want people to have what we got, we need to show it a little more, amen. People need to see if we really have joy. They need to see if we really love God. They need to see if we really can get beyond what we're going through. Why would anybody want what we got if we're all the time dragging our tracks out, amen? And what we need to do is go ahead, Brother Willis, and worship beyond our wounds, because lost people around us, they see it and they hear it. All these people in prison, their sinners. they're lost. They done something wrong. They broke the law. And listen, friend, people are watching our lives. I remember a little mountain church when I grew up in North Carolina, Nod Buchanan. He's dead now. And matter of fact, some drug dealers got a hold of him and took a knife and slit him open and pulled all his guts out because they thought he swallowed a key to open up the door to where their stuff is at. And I remember watching Nod Buchanan over there as a little boy. Big old beard, just old country fella. Old mountain man, I look over there, Brother Willis, and honestly, it looked like he was pouring water on top of his head. I mean, I can remember it as a little boy, and them tears just flowing down, and just, I mean, just worshiping God and praising God. And that man, listen, he never did know. He will never know it till I meet him one day in heaven. What an impact just seeing him worshiping God did in my little heart that day. Amen. Our children need to see us worshiping God, moms and dads. Our lost family members need to see us worshiping God. And when we're going through hard times, don't we dare go tell some lost people how bad it is to be a Christian. We need to say, God, give us grace and help us, Lord. I pray to be that example. Amen. And to be that witness. Amen. And to give that testimony that God is good. Amen. The heathen are listening. And this is what convicted them. The fear of God came upon them. Oh, listen to me. The keeper of the jail, he came in. He trembled because somebody worshiped beyond their words. Listen, worship will bring God on the scene. He inhabits the praises of Israel. And God will come in and move in and hang around. Amen. And abide. Amen. When we go ahead and show God, though we're hurt, though we're wounded, God, we're going to worship you anyway. We're going to praise you anyway, God. And God shows up on the scene. I'm not trying to, listen, I guess I am. I guess I'm trying to pump you up. Ain't that what we're supposed to do, preacher? We're supposed to try to get the people up to another level. We use a lot of stupid terminology. Why do you think I'm up here preaching for? I want you to get exhorted. I want you to get help. I want you to get above what you're going through. That's why I'm preaching what God told me. I'm not up here to perform. God knows my heart. Listen, I'm this old country preacher. I'm just saying, Lord, give me something to help them because I love you and God loves you and I love the people I preach to. And I want you to get beyond your wounds. Most of us men of God don't realize that God allows us to have wounds so we can help our people. Shake off them hindrances. I'm trying. Brother Robert didn't give me no time. But to wake up the heathen. Oh, listen, they're having a tent meeting up at Brother Michael Green's up in Boone, North Carolina. And they set that tent up out there. I don't know if it's Brother Allen's. I believe Brother Allen was up there preaching. And man, God got in that place. I wasn't there. I wish I had been. But them guys and them people got to run out of that tent praising God, worshiping God. And somebody had one of the Christian flags running down that road with that Christian flag. Worshiping and praising God. And I want to tell you what it did. It shook up the place. That's what happened here. It shook up the place. They had the law down there. Amen. Wondering what's going on, Brother Robert. All they was doing is worshiping God. Oh, Brother Barry, I'm reminded so many times about when you and them fellas run off in that graveyard that time. Worshiping God. They said the doors, you can tell it better night, doors flew open. As young preachers, doors flew open. And they run out there in that graveyard, that cemetery. I can remember him telling that. And as out there worshiping, praising God in the graveyard, it's kind of like, well, I guess he's still, no, I'm I said, well, most of us still doing that. Amen. A lot of churches are dead. But I want to tell you what it did. It might not have stirred nobody under that 6-foot hole in the ground. Amen. But it stirred up that community. Yeah, next thing you know, the lights was flashing in that place. Shook somebody up. Amen. When you go ahead and worship God, it'll shake the place up. Wake up the heathen. And police officers need to come out there. Amen. What y'all doing? We're worshiping God. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. We want people to notice what's going on and what God's doing in our church, friend. Worship, 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 friend. I tell you, I was raised up over there in New Victory area in Tennessee. And anyway, I was still in high school. I was coming up the hill past the sawmill. And I seen something over on the hillside a long ways just glowing. I was riding up that hill, and I couldn't get my eyes off that glow. When you top the hill, Brother Willis, you go back down into a little dip and you turn left up where Mom and Dad live. I was still living at home. I was in high school. I was riding that old 71 Buick Skylark, green, with brown shag carpet in it. I'll never forget it. Eight track. I was riding up that hill, and I was a lost man. I was riding up that hill in that old green four-door Buick Skylark with brown shag carpet and eight-track player playing. And I was going up there. All I could see is that big glow on the hillside. And I kept thinking, what? It so captivated me. I just went right on by the turnoff to Mom and Dad. And I kept on the driving, and I kept on the driving. The closer I got, the bigger the glow got. I got up this little turn at New Victory Baptist Church, went around that big S-curve right there, and went out through there, and the whole field was on fire. You hear me? And I want to tell you something. I saw what was taking on. There's a fire. There's something going on. And something captivated me. And listen, I'm going somewhere with this. Amen. We want to stir our community up. We want to stir up our lost loved ones. They need to see us let our light so shine before me that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. They need to see us worshiping and glowing. Paul and Silas was glowing in jail. I'm trying to, for the sake of our homes, number three. Man, I've left out a lot. I didn't get it all ironed out, brother. I had to write this stuff out. It's bad to have a laptop and not have your printer with you. Yeah. Amen. And I was too, I can't read it, half of it. But verse 32, I want to show you this, this will help you. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. This is the purpose right here. The purpose of your wound. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Sometimes when we go ahead and worship beyond our wounds are for a purpose. Amen. It's for the sake of homes. Now listen to me. We're begotten by the word of truth. I know that. Being born again, not corrupt to see, but incorrupt by the word of God which lives. I know that. But I want to tell you, it's amazing how many people here today, just because somebody, you saw somebody with worship in their life that got you interested in God.
You're right. Amen.
And your wounds, friends, sometimes we have wounds, and they're for the purpose that we don't see is to affect some home that has no hope. Amen.
Right.
We see faith in the Lord. They rejoiced in their situations.
Amen.
And because they rejoiced in their situation, they was able to rejoice in His salvation.
Right. Amen.
Y'all get that?
Amen.
Psalmist said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." And when we rejoice in our situations, amen, and our circumstances, amen, then we're able to rejoice in His salvation again, amen. Devil can't get your soul. Aren't you glad for that?
Hey,
a lot of times, listen, you remember when you got saved, before you got saved, the devil says, you're all right. After you get saved, he says, you're not all right.
Amen.
Amen. I heard Brother Mitchell say one time, he's riding down the road and he felt like quitting. He's just hurt. He's riding down the road and he said, devil's in the car talking to him. He said, you ought to just quit. You ought to just give up. Look what they've done to you. You ought to just quit. He said, I got thinking about that. He said, I started talking about the devil. He said, devil, if I ain't doing no good, why you want me to quit? Amen. That helped me.
I know I've run every rabbit that's jumped out. But I'm going to try to say they rejoiced. They worshiped beyond the woods. Verse 34, and rejoice. And you know what that word rejoice means? We don't see much of it anymore.
You're right.
It means jump for joy.
Amen.
That's what
Amen.
It means. Look at it. I mean, just jump for joy. When we finally see, brother, the full picture and see why God allows us to be wounded or go through things that we've went through, when we see the final outcome, we're not dwelling on that wound anymore. No, no, no. We're rejoicing because we're seeing the picture, the plan, the purpose of what God is doing in our lives. The church that we started, Brother Barry, Roger Baptist Temple, they commissioned us out. Had 18 people. I was their pastor. My burden was still there. Can I give you this advice, men of God? I resigned my first church because God took the burden away. When God don't take the burden away, where are you going to go? I stayed with the people. We started in a little bitty, probably about a 20 by 25, just something small. It was a bait and tackle shop. We started in that thing. We had them old hard old pews that come out of the Stanfield's church, Harbor Light Baptist Church. And had I cherished them seats we still got. Dr. Percy Ray sat on one, and Dr. Harold Seidler sat on some great men. And I mean, just old chairs. Pulpit donated to us from the nursing, I mean, from the funeral home. My cousin learned to play the piano. He got wounded by a saw. He worked in a cabinet shop. He owns a cabinet shop. Got wounded. Lost feelings in his fingers. He don't need this piano anymore. Would y'all like to have it? I can go right on and on and on and on. When I seen the final outcome, when I got wounded, I didn't see all of that. Met in that little bitty building in that bait tackle shop. Seen precious souls come to Christ. Seen, oh, glory to God. Seen my wife's nieces raised up in a Jehovah's Witness home come to know Christ. Amen. I seen some people get saved. Amen. And God began to move in that little building. We didn't have much. And still don't have a whole lot. I mean, as far as material things. But I tell you, I look back at them wounds. I wouldn't trade them for nothing. Amen. I see where God's brought us and what He's doing. Amen. And I say, thank you, Lord. It didn't feel good at the time. But God, look at the souls that's been saved through our wounds. God, please help us to be content. I know. I'll give you this last one. Amen. Now, sometimes we need to worship beyond our wounds because, verse 33, and He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, was baptized, he and all his straightway. He said, am I ever going to get any relief from my wounds? That's why He come, to heal the brokenhearted.
Amen.
Is that not what He come? When we get wounded as a child of God, don't forget this. Number four, we need to worship beyond our wounds because one day He's going to take away your hurt.
Amen.
I went a year, Brother Willis, with a fighting spirit in me, with a bitter, angry, hurtful spirit about me because of what people's done to me and my family, my church. It took me a year to get over it. But can I honestly say before you tonight, they're just scars now. They don't hurt me anymore. Because I just went on and tried to do what God had us to do. Some of you here this morning, man, I'm telling you, my heart's heavy for some folks. But Robert, Miss Kelly, and I hope y'all don't mind me saying this. Every year before this meeting, it seemed like all devil breaks loose. Leaks in the roof.
air, heat and air conditions. And all these things that's going on, they start hurting us and hindering us and wounding us. And when you walk into the building like this, Brother Robert, maybe the crowd might not be as big as it was last year. But I promise you one thing, this meeting's not been in vain for this preacher. It's helped take away my hurt because I've been up coming here and worshiping.
Amen.
Comfort for them. He washed their wounds, and I'm trying to close. By this time, they may have begin to fester up. Begin to produce some sort of corruption. If you don't go ahead and learn to worship beyond your wounds, it'll start festering. And you'll start getting corrupt. You'll get a bad spirit. But I like this. I can't wait to get to this. The ones that wounded him. Look in verse 39. Now, and they came and besought them, and brought them out, and desired them to depart out of the city. Notice that word besought, and besought them. You know what that word besought means? To apologize. That's one definition I found. Now they found out they were Romans. They're apologizing. You go ahead and serve God when people wound you. And worship God. And let God work on their heart. And let God see, let them see your realness. And one day, I've got the fella that I was telling you about that's my motivator. He was with those men that screamed in my face. Stood in front of the door and said, "You're not leaving until you hear what we've got to say." Screamed to the top of his lungs at me. He called me the next day, bawling his eyeballs out. The next day. I walked out of that place, brother, wounded. God give me grace. I didn't bawl them out. I just picked up that resignation paper. Walked out, went out and throwed football with a little boy. And then people stand over there next to that church. And they were a whole lot more hurt than I was that day. You could tell it. And that one fella, big, he weighs 300 pounds. Big old guy. Called me the next day bawling and apologizing. And he calls me up one day and he says, "Preacher, me and my family's about dead spiritually." He said, "For 2 years," he said, and he almost got back into the same old things he used to. "We've been about dead spiritually. Can we come to your church?"
Hey,
that big old fella surrendered his call to preach at our church. His wife got saved in that revival week. His son got saved when I pastored that church. He'll stand at his feet. And we're open about it. And we talk about the wounds. And we talk about all that happened. We're just open about it. But then we talk about what God is doing now. We don't dwell. He'll stand at the top of his feet. I mean, he'll shout. I mean, he'll ring the rafters, friend. Amen. And because he got right, amen, and apologized, amen. And now, thank God, he's able to get in on it. I tell you what, I believe some people might need to do this morning. I don't know. The Holy Ghost knows. Maybe a husband and wife. It may have to do with your pastor or your friend, your neighbor, your children. You might just need to apologize. And then we might be in jubilee for the whole week. Well, I thank God. He apologized. And it's pretty pitiful outline. Have y'all ever been in an old-time confession service? Just old-time confession service. I've been in about two or three of them. I was preaching at Open Door Baptist Church. I didn't have a clue. Big old group of people. Preaching fill-in for the pastor. He had a brain tumor, and he asked me to come preach. And all of a sudden, Brother Willis Someone stood up and said, I need to say something. I've had all against so-and-so back there. I just want to tell them I'm sorry. And then that person says, well, I've had all against this person. And I mean, I've seen that go on way up to about 9 o'clock one night. Getting right. And I'm telling you, it broke out. We was in a spirit of revival. Brother James Jones came in and preached revival that next week. Man, I'm telling you, it's in a spirit of revival. Because someone just said, I'm sorry. Old time confession service. Miss Harris, she's 96. She's one of my oldest members. Her sister, I believe, is 94. They're both living. We had a confession service at that old church that wounded me back before it happened. Man, people started getting right. People got to worshiping. Miss Harris, 96. She said, preacher, I'll never forget it. She said, I feel like I've been in revival. Brother Robert, thank you. I hope I didn't take too much time. But you know, how many people's wounded this morning? And I asked you to stand. He said, all right, if I do that, Brother Robert, you come on. And how many of you just say, man, I've come to this Jubilee meeting. I've come all the way down here to get some help. Well, you're going to have to get beyond your wounds. Not today. I mean, this thing will be over with soon. And we got some great preachers coming. I can't wait to hear them. But don't you sit here and think about all your wounds and your problems. You won't get in on it. You won't get no help. You just won't get nothing. This is a preacher's jubilee. Men of God, families, man, those wounds, pastor's wives, those wounds, just go ahead and worship beyond them. Just go ahead and worship beyond them.